May I recommend to you all Paul's letter to the Ephesians in the New Testament. Read it all from beginning to end, 6 chapters. Take you half an hour or so. In this letter, Paul gives us the big picture of what God has done in all the history of the world, all focused in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but how it fans out into all the world and into our own lives today. And so it's a letter which speaks not only about God's great purposes for all of history, but for his purposes for each one of us. And I want this morning, having received new members by profession of faith, to summarize what Paul has to say and draw some lessons from it. In chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, he says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme." Although God's purposes are wonderful for the world and for us, there is an enemy. The devil exists. And we'll explain that in the next few minutes. But Paul has painted a wonderfully beautiful picture of God's love in Christ for a lost world, in which Christ has taken away the sins of the world and given us a place in his eternal kingdom. And now he warns us that the enemy exists, and his purpose, the purpose of the enemy, is to destroy the work of God. And we read today the temptations of Jesus. The devil attacked Jesus immediately after his baptism and anointing with the Holy Spirit. Now the devil will finally be defeated. Nevertheless, as the world moves towards the end of history, he will have one last final fling. So we must not be surprised if it seems that in the world evil increases. I was reading not all that long ago an article in the newspaper which we get. It was an article written about what has been described as the 20th century's greatest painting. It had been stolen recently from Norway, where it was kept. The most famous of the 20th century pictures. It is called, ominously, The Scream. It's a picture of a man with his hand clasping his face, screaming. And behind him is a blood-red sky. And that is supposed to be a picture of so much of the 20th century humanity. And the writer of this article was contrasting it with 19th century paintings, which were considered great pictures of the countryside, of the mountains and the hills. And the writer of this article went on to speak of various famous men who've had enormous influence and enormous genius upon our century. One of these men was Albert Einstein, the greatest scientist of this century. And he was, I believe, and the writer of this article believed, a great influence for good. He was a scholar who loved peace and freedom. He believed that the foundation of all the universe is God, the Creator, before whom we stand in rapturous amazement as we consider all that he has created. And Einstein referred to God as the Dear Lord. But the other men that influenced the 20th century greatly, great men of great genius, influenced it not for good, but for bad. There was Lenin and Hitler, for example. Now, they dehumanized governments by teaching us that there is no right and wrong except blind obedience to the ruling party. How do you know what's right? You just do what the party tells you to do. That's what they said. And that system, those systems, have led to more deaths, many tens of millions in this century, than all the violent deaths of all the previous history of planet Earth, just in this century. And then in the article he mentions Picasso, who, I don't know whether you agree with this, but he says dehumanized art and painting by his love of the portrayal of chaos. And as Picasso's life continued, he personally became more and more consumed by despair, anger, and hatred. But since his time, think of all the art, including the film industry, that has taken up the same theme of chaos and cruelty and darkness. And then there was Freud. He taught this 20th century that everything we do as human beings, our ambitions, our love for one another, our courage, our kindnesses, our neighborliness, our hobbies, everything that goes to make up the best in humanity, Freud said, is simply an expression of our sexual instincts. So we're nothing but sex machines. That's what Freud said. In other words, he dehumanized our humanity. And that too has had a major influence on the 20th century, hasn't it? Look around you today. But even Einstein, for all the good he did, still his discoveries were later used for destructive purposes, namely the production of nuclear weapons. Now Jesus, speaking of the devil, says this: he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, to steal our humanity, to bring death and hell to the world. But Jesus said that he, speaking of himself, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And that's the choice we make in this world, dear friends. Which do we want? The Lord, the Creator, the Savior of life, or the Destroyer of life? And the gospel of Jesus Christ restores our humanity. Maybe many of us have already been broken by these forces I've been speaking about. The gospel of Jesus Christ restores us to what we should be. It gives us life and grace and love. And this is Paul's message in his letter to the Ephesians. He tells us that God's loving purpose is to reunite all of heaven and all of earth in Christ. And that was accomplished through the great sufferings of Jesus, who bore our guilt. And we individuals, you and me, as individual human beings, become part of this great purpose of God when we humbly trust God's word. And Paul prays that this may be real in your life and my life, and that we might understand this loving wisdom of our God. Not that any of us are worthy. Not that any of us have got enough willpower. Not that any of us have got enough courage. We're all spiritually dead in our trespasses and sins, but the resurrection life of Christ gives us those things that we lack. We're saved by God's grace, not by our own efforts of earning his favor. And as well as the gospel reconciling us to God, it reconciles us to one another. And the church on earth should be where we love one another as we love God. So we must be the body of Christ. And Paul prays that that might be real in our lives and that we might be rooted and grounded in love. And he exhorts us to strive for unity, recognizing that we have a diversity of gifts from God and we're not all alike and we're different from one another. But we're to live as children of the light because the days are evil, he says. So we should not have evil behavior in the Christian community. Instead, we must be very careful about our Christian lives and be filled with the Holy Spirit, he says. And there must be a warmth of fellowship as we share and pray and sing with one another. He goes on to speak of the proper relationship between husbands and wives, parents and children, employees and employers. And it's all very wonderful, but then he tells us that there is the enemy who will work against God's purposes, taking away our faith, leading us into false doctrine, alienating human beings from one another, seeking to lay waste the church, sowing hatred and discord in the world and in the church, destroying fellowship, breaking down relationships between husbands and wives, parents and children, employers and employees. So Paul says at the end, he says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. All of us wish we could spend our days in peace and tranquility, in church, in home, in neighborhood, work, and amongst friends. But there is a fight to be fought. There is a conflict, and therefore we must know the enemy. If we underestimate his power, we'll fail to wear the necessary armor for the battle, and that would be fatal. If we overestimate his power, we'll imagine we see him everywhere and blame him for the things that are really our fault. There are two common mistakes about the devil. Some people say he doesn't exist. I say just look at some of the magazines and videos that are on sale in many bookshops, majoring on devil worship, hell, blasphemy, obscenity, bloodlust, torture and cruelty, and then say the devil doesn't exist. Where did these things come from? I would like to know. And of course, because these things pervade so much of society, we see violence for no purpose. Jesus believed in the devil and was tempted by him. The second mistake is to think that the devil can operate independently of human beings. The devil has power only because we give it to him. God gave us, human beings, the authority to care for the world. The devil said to Jesus, "The authority I now have has been betrayed to me." It's we who betrayed it to him. We betray more power to him every time we give in to temptation or dabble in magic and the occult. Paul tells us three of his characteristics. He says he's powerful. Powerful enough for us to be aware of the dangers, but not so powerful as to be able to destroy the purposes of God. And not powerful enough to act independently of human beings. Secondly, Paul tells us that he is wicked. There's nothing wrong with power. It can be used for good or for evil. The devil uses it for evil. In his warfare, there is no Geneva Convention to limit him. There's no soldier's honor. Thirdly, Paul tells us he is cunning. He seldom attacks openly. He seduces us to compromise. I recommend to you all that amusing but very telling book by C.S. Lewis, The Screwtape Letters. In view of all this, Paul gives us two exhortations. He says, one, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord. In other words, be strong in his way of defeating evil. How did he defeat evil? He did so through the cross. The power of the devil comes through our human sinfulness. Therefore, since the cross takes away our sin, it means the power of evil will ultimately be defeated. So be strong in the Lord means keep near to the cross of Jesus. Be humbly confident of your forgiveness in Christ. Remember There is no condemnation for those who look to Christ Jesus. Take up your cross and follow him. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, the power of the resurrection of Christ. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That same Holy Spirit who brought the wonderful beauty to the world before which we stand in rapturous amazement, that same Holy Spirit moves in our lives. So much of human life seems out of control. It's sad to see lives degenerate into materialism, chaos, regret, and hopelessness. The devil loves chaos and destruction because it's the opposite of God's creation. The Holy Spirit, in raising Jesus from the dead, has reconstituted our humanity. So being near to the cross is also being near to the power of the resurrection of Christ. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Don't trust in your own strength or your own willpower. Secondly, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. You need protection and weapons for the spiritual warfare. And I can't expound the full armor of God this morning. There's no time. But he says, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground and after all you have done, to stand. The full armor of God enables us to stand in the evil day. Paul could have meant by that, it enables you to stand when terrible persecution comes upon you, like it's coming upon the people in Sudan and Burma and China right now. Or Paul could mean the full armor of God enables you to stand at any time of great sorrow or affliction or danger that comes to you. On that day, don't be a wobbly Christian. Wear the breastplate of faith, the helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let your feet be shod with the gospel of peace. Take it into the enemy territory. Know the Lord and serve him. He will be with you. He will be faithful to the end. Jesus said, all authority. Remember, the devil had said to Jesus, all authority is mine. Jesus, after he had died for our sins, said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go ye therefore into all nations, teaching them whatsoever I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Almighty God, we bow our heads before you in thankfulness that Jesus, by his death and resurrection, has conquered the forces of evil forever. So keep us near always to the cross where he died, so that we might be strong in his resurrection power through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.